Think of your astral body gradually, easily separating from the 53 physical body, and drifting upwards to about 3, or perhaps 4 feet above the physical. There it rests above you, swaying gently. You may have experienced a sensation of swaying just when you are falling asleep, that was the astral swaying. As we have said, the body is floating above you, possibly swaying a little, and connected to you by the silver cord which goes from your umbilicus to the umbilicus of the astral body, figure 8. Figure 8, leaving the body. Do not look too closely, because we have already warned you that if you become startled and twitch, you will bring your body back and have to start all over again on some other occasion. Suppose you heed our warning, and do not twitch, then your astral body will remain floating above for some moments, take no action at all, hardly think. Breathe shallowly, for this is your first time out, remember, your first time consciously out, and you have to be careful. If you are not afraid, if you do not twitch, the astral body will slowly float off, it will just drift away to the end or the side of the bed where, quite gently, without any shock whatsoever, it will gradually sink so that the feet touch, or almost touch the floor. Then, the process of making a soft landing over, your astral will be able to look at your physical and relay back what it sees. You will have a quite discomforting sensation of looking at your own physical body, and we point out now that it is often a humiliating 54 experience. Many of us have a completely erroneous idea of what we look like. Do you remember when you first heard your voice? Have you heard your voice on a tape recorder? For the first time, you may have frankly disbelieved that it was your voice. You may have thought that someone was playing a trick on you, or that the recorder was faulty. The first time one hears one's voice, one disbelieves it, one becomes appalled and mortified. But wait until you see your body for the first time. You will stand there in your astral body with your consciousness quite fully transferred to your astral body, and you will look down upon that reclining physical body. You will be horrified. You will not like the shape of the body nor the complexion. You will be shocked at the lines on the face and by the features, and if you advance a little further and look into your mind, you will see certain little quirks and phobias which may even cause you to jump back into the body out of sheer fright. But supposing you surmount this first frightening meeting with yourself, what then? You must decide where you are going, what you want to do, what you want to see. The easiest system is to visit some person with whom you are well acquainted, perhaps a close relative who lives in a neighboring city. First, it should always be a person that you frequently visit, because you have to visualize the person in considerable detail. You have to visualize where he or she lives and precisely how to get there. Remember, this is new to you doing it consciously, that is, and you want to follow the exact route which you would follow if you were going in the flesh. Leave your room, move to the street, in the astral, of course, but do not worry, people cannot see you. Traverse the path which you would normally take, keeping fixed before you the image of the person whom you want to visit and how to get there. Then, very, very speedily, far more quickly than the fastest car could take you, you will be at your friend's or relative's house. With practice, you will be able to go anywhere. Seas, oceans and mountains will be no bar, no obstacle, to your path. The lands of the world and the cities of the world will be yours to visit. Some people think, oh, supposing I go and I cannot get back. What then? The answer is, you cannot get lost. It is quite impossible to get lost. It is quite impossible to harm yourself or to find that your body has, 55, been taken over. If anyone comes near to your body while you are astral traveling, the body relays a warning and you are reeled in with the speed of thought. No harm can come to you, the only harm is fear. So do not fear, but experiment, and with experiment will come a realization of all your hopes, all your ambitions in the realms of astral travel. When you are in the astral stage consciously, you will see colors more brilliantly than you do in the flesh. Everything will shimmer with life. You may even see particles of life about you like sparks. That is the vitality of the earth, and as you pass through it, you will pick up strength and courage. A difficulty is this: you cannot take anything with you, you cannot bring anything back. It is, of course, possible under some conditions, and this comes with much practice only, that you materialize in front of a clairvoyant, but it is not easy to go to a person and carry out a diagnosis of their health condition because you really need to be able to discuss things like that. You can go to a shop and look over their stock and decide what you want to go and buy the next day, that is quite permissible. Often when you visit a shop in the astral you will see the flaws and the shoddiness of some of the goods which are high priced. When you are in the astral and you want to return to the physical, you should keep calm, you should let yourself think of the flesh body, think that you are going to go back and that you are going to get in. As you think this there will be a blur of speed, or there may even be an instantaneous shift from wherever you are to a spot 3 or 4 feet above your reclining body. You will find that you are there, drifting, undulating slightly, just as when you left the body. Let yourself sink down very, very slowly, it must be slowly because the two bodies have to be absolutely synchronized. If you do it right you will sink into the body without a jar, without any tremor, without any sensation other than that the body is a cold and heavy mass. If you should be clumsy and you should not exactly align your two bodies, or if someone should interrupt you so that you go back with a jerk, you may find that you have some headache, some almost migraine type of headache. In that case you have to try to get yourself, 56, to sleep, or force yourself out into the astral again, because until your two bodies are back in exact alignment you cannot get rid of the headache. It is nothing to worry about because a quite definite cure is to go to sleep, even for a few moments, or consciously to get out into the astral again. You may find that back in your flesh body you are stiff. You may find that the sensation is much the same as putting on a suit of clothes which got wet the day before and now is still wet and dank. Until you get used to it, it is not altogether a happy sensation coming back to the body. You will find that the glorious colors which you saw in the astral world have dimmed. Many of the colors you will not see at all in the flesh. Many of the sounds that you heard in the astral are quite inaudible when in the fleshly body. But never mind, you are upon earth to learn something, and when you have learned that which was your purpose in coming to earth, you will be free of the ties, free of the bonds of earth, and when you leave your fleshly body permanently, with the silver cord severed, you go to realms far above that of the astral world. Practice this astral traveling, practice it and practice it. Keep away all fear. For if you have no fear, then there is nothing to fear, no harm can come to you, only pleasure. Lesson 10. We have said there is nothing to fear except fear. We must emphasize again that provided a person remains free from fear there is no danger whatsoever in astral traveling, no matter how far nor how fast one goes. But, you may ask, what is there to fear? Let us devote this lesson to the subject of fear and what there is that should not be feared. Fear is a very negative attitude, an attitude which corrodes our finer perceptions. No matter of what we are afraid, any form of fear does harm. People may fear that in going into the astral state they may not be able to return to the body. It is always possible to return to the body unless one is actually dying, unless one has come to the end of one's allotted span upon earth, and that, as you will agree, has nothing to do, 57. With astral traveling. It is possible, we must admit that one can be so afraid as to be paralyzed with fright, and in that case one just cannot do anything. In such a condition a person may be in the astral body and may be so utterly terrified that even the astral body is unable to move. Of course that delays the return to the physical body for some time, until the sharpness of the fear wears off. Fear does wear off, you know. A sensation can be sustained only for a certain time. So a person who is afraid merely delays a perfectly safe return to the physical body. We are not the only form of life in the astral just as humans are not the only form of life on earth. In this world of ours we have pleasant creatures like cats and dogs and horses and birds to mention just a few, but there are also unpleasant creatures like spiders that bite or snakes that poison. There are unpleasant things like germs, microbes and other harmful and noxious things. If you had seen germs under a high-powered microscope you would see such fantastic creatures that you would imagine that you were living in the days of the dragons of fairy tale fame. In the astral world there are many things stranger than anything you can encounter on earth. In the astral we shall meet remarkable creatures or people or entities. We shall see nature spirits. These, by the way, are almost invariably good and pleasant. But there are horrible creatures who must have been seen by some of the writers of mythology and legend, because these creatures are like the devils, the satyrs, and other various aspected fiends of the myths. Some of these creatures are low elementals who may later become humans or they may branch out into the animal kingdom. Whatever they may be, at this stage of their development they are thoroughly unpleasant. It is worth pausing a moment here to point out that drunkards, those who see pink elephants and various other remarkable apparitions, are indeed seeing precisely that type of creature. Drunkards are people who have driven their astral body out of the physical body and into the very lowest planes of the astral world. Here they meet truly fearsome creatures, and when the drunkard later recovers, as much as he ever does, his senses, then he has quite a vivid memory of the things that he saw. While getting thoroughly drunk is one method of getting into the astral world and remembering, it is not one which we would, 58, recommend because it takes one only to the very lowest, to the most degraded planes of the astral. There are various drugs now in use by the medical profession, principally in hospitals for the mentally sick, which have a similar effect. Mescaline, for example, can so alter one's vibrations that one is literally ejected from the physical body and catapulted into the astral world. Here again, this is not a method to be recommended. Drugs and other forms of getting out of the physical body are truly harmful, they cause harm to the overself. But let us return to our elementals. What do we mean by elementals? Well, elementals are a primary form of spirit life. They are a stage up from thought forms. These are thought forms, are merely projections from the conscious or unconscious mind of the human, and they have merely a pseudo-life of their own. Thought forms were created by the ancient Egyptian priests in order that the mummified bodies of great pharaohs and famous queens could be protected from those who would desecrate the ancient tombs. Thought forms are constructed with the idea that they shall repel invaders, that they shall attack by impinging upon the consciousness of those who would intrude, and, in impinging upon the consciousness, to cause such extreme terror that the would-be burglar flees. We are not concerned with thought forms, for they are mindless entities which are merely charged by long-dead priests and set to accomplish certain tasks, the guarding of tombs against invaders. We are concerned for the moment with elementals. Elementals, as we have stated, are spirit people in the early stages of development. In the spirit world, the astral world, they correspond roughly to the position occupied by monkeys in the human world. Monkeys are irresponsible, mischievous, frequently spiteful and vicious, and they have no great reasoning power of their own. They are, as one might say, just animated lumps of protoplasm. Elementals, occupying about the same status in the astral world as monkeys in the human world, are forms which move about more or less without purpose. They gibber and put on strange, horrifying expressions, they make threatening motions at an astral-traveling human. But, of course, they can do no harm. Always keep that in mind, they can do no harm. If you have ever been so unfortunate as to go to a mental hospital and, 59, see really bad cases of mental derangement, you will have been shocked at the manner in which some of the worst cases there come up to one and make threatening, or possibly meaningless, gestures. They slobber and drool, but if they are faced with determination they, being of a very inferior mentality, always retreat. When you move through the lower astral planes you may meet some of these people, some of these strange, outlandish creatures. Sometimes if a traveler is timid these creatures cluster around and try to fluster one. There is no harm in that, they are quite harmless, really, unless one is afraid of them. When one is starting astral travel you will often get two or three of these lower entities congregating nearby to see how one makes out, in much the same way as a certain type of person always likes to look at a learner driver taking a car out for the first time. The spectators always hope that something gory or exciting will happen, and sometimes if the learner driver is flustered he, or, more usually, she, will collide with a lamp post or something else to the great delight of the spectators. The spectators, as such, mean no harm, They are just sensationalists trying to get a cheap thrill. So with the elementals, they are merely out for cheap entertainment. They like to see the discomfiture of humans, therefore, if you show any fear, these elementals will be delighted and will keep up their gesticulations, their fierce and threatening approaches. Actually, they can do nothing whatever to any human, they are more like dogs who can bark only, and a barking dog does no harm. Furthermore, they can only annoy you so long as you, through your fear, permit them to. Have no fear, nothing whatever can happen to you. You leave your body, you soar into the astral plane, and about 90 or 99 times out of 100 you will not see any of these low entities. Again, you will only see them if you are afraid of them. Normally you will soar up and beyond their realm. They are clustered right at the bottom of the astral plane in much the same way as worms cluster at the bottom of a river or sea. When you move up into the astral planes you will meet many remarkable occurrences. You may in the distance see great and brilliant gleams of light. These are from planes of existence presently beyond your reach. Remember our keyboard? The human entity, while in the 60 flesh, can be aware of only 3 or 4 notes, but in getting out of the body and into the astral world you have extended your range of notes a little upwards, you have extended that range enough to become aware that there are greater things ahead of you. Some of these things are represented by the bright lights which are so bright that you cannot really see what they are. But let us content ourselves for the time being with the middle astral. Here you can visit your friends or your relations, you can visit the cities of the world and see the great public buildings, you can read books in strange languages, for, remember, in the middle astral plane all languages are known to you. You will need to practice astral travel. Here is a description of what it is like, a description which can be your own experience with practice. The day had grown old and the shadows of night had fallen, leaving the purple twilight which gradually grew darker and darker until at last the sky turned indigo, and then, black. Little lights had sprung up all around. The whitish-blue lights which illumined the streets, the yellowish lights which were the lights within the houses, perhaps they had been tinted somewhat by the blinds or curtains through which they shone. The body was resting in bed fully conscious, fully relaxed. Gradually there came a faint creaking sensation, a feeling as if something was drifting, shifting. There was the faintest of faint itches throughout the body. Gradually there came a separation. Above the prone body a cloud formed at the end of a gleaming silver cord. The cloud started as an indistinct mass, something like a big blot of ink floating in the air. Slowly it formed into the shape of a human body. It formed and rose to about 3 or 4 feet, where it swayed and twisted. Over some seconds the body of the astral rose higher, then the feet tilted. Slowly it sank down so that it was standing at the foot of the bed looking at the physical body which it had just left and to which it was still attached. In the room the flickering shadows crept into the corners like strange animals at bay. The silver cord was vibrating and shining with a dull silvery blue light. The astral body itself was rimmed with blue light. The figure in the astral looked about and then looked down upon the physical body resting comfortably on the bed. The eyes were now shut. 61. The breathing was quiet and shallow, there was no movement, no twitching, the body appeared to be resting comfortably. The silver cord did not vibrate, therefore there was no evidence of any unease. Satisfied, the astral form silently and slowly rose up into the air, passed through the ceiling of the room and through the roof above, and out into the night air. The silver cord lengthened but did not diminish in thickness. It was as if the astral figure was a gas-filled balloon tethered to the house which was the physical body. The astral figure rose until it was 50, 100, 200 feet above the rooftops. There it stopped, floated idly, and looked about. From houses all along the street and from streets beyond there were the faint blue lines which were the silver cords of other people. They extended up and up and disappeared into some illimitable distance. People always travel by night whether they know it or not, but only the favored ones, the ones who practice, come back with the full knowledge of all that they have done. This particular astral form was floating above the rooftops, looking about, deciding where to go. At last it decided to visit a land far, far away. Upon the instant of decision it started into fantastic speed, whirling almost with the speed of thought across the land, across the seas, and as it crossed the sea below the great waves leapt up with the white crests at the top. At one point in its journey it peered down at a great liner racing across the turbulent sea with all lights on and the sound of music coming from the decks. The astral form sped on, overtaking time. The night gave way to the evening before, the astral form was catching up on time, night gave way to evening and evening, in its turn, was overtaken and became late afternoon. Late afternoon was outstripped and become noon itself. At last in the bright sunlight the astral figure saw that which it had come to see, the land so far away, a dearly beloved land with dearly beloved people. Gently the astral figure sank to the earth and mixed unseen, unheard among those who were in the physical body. Eventually there came an insistent tugging, a twisting of the silver cord. Far, far away in a different land the physical body which had been left behind was sensing the break of day and was recalling its astral. For some moments the astral lingered on, but at last the warning could no, 62, longer be ignored. Up into the air rose the shadowed form, poised motionless for a moment like a homing pigeon, then sped across the skies, flashing across land, across water, back to the place of the rooftop. Other cords were trembling too, other people were returning to their physical bodies. But this particular astral form sank down through the rooftop and emerged through the ceiling over the slumbering figure of its physical. Lightly, slowly, it sank down and positioned itself precisely above the physical body. Slowly, gently, with infinite care it descended and merged into that physical body. For a moment there was a sensation of intense cold, a sensation of dullness, of leaden weight pressing down. Gone was the lightness, the feeling of freedom, the bright colors experienced in the astral body. Instead there was cold. It felt as if a warm body was putting on a wet suit of clothes. The physical body stirred and the eyes opened. Outside the windows the first faint streaks of daylight were showing above the horizon. The body stirred and said, "I remember all my experiences of the night. You too can have such experiences, you too can travel in the astral. You can see those whom you love, and the greater the ties between you and those whom you love the more easily you can travel. It needs practice and more practice. According to old Eastern tales, in the days of long long ago all mankind could travel in the astral but because so many people abused that privilege it was taken away. For those who are pure in thought, for those who are pure in mind, practice will bring release for the leaden, cloying weight of the body, and will enable one to go wherever one wills. You will not do it in 5 minutes, nor in 5 days. You must imagine that you can do it. Whatever you believe you are, that you are. Whatever you believe you can do, that you can do. If you really believe, if you sincerely believe that you can do a thing, then you can do that thing. Believe, believe, and with practice you will travel in the astral. Again, have no fear, for while in the astral no one can harm you, no matter how fearsome, no matter how terrifying is the aspect of lower entities whom you may, but probably will not, see. They can do nothing to you unless you are afraid. The absence of fear ensures your absolute protection. So will you practice, will you decide where you are going? Lie down, 63, upon your bed, you must be alone in your bed, of course. And tell yourself that this night you are going to such and such a place to see so and so, and when you awaken in the morning you will remember everything that you did. Practice is all that is necessary to make this attainable. Lesson 11. The subject of astral traveling is, of course, of vital importance, and for that reason it might be advantageous to devote this lesson to more notes about that quite fascinating pastime. We suggest that you carefully read this lesson, go through it at least as meticulously as you have gone through the other lessons, and then decide upon an evening a few days ahead as the evening of your experiment. Prepare yourself by thinking that upon the chosen evening you are going out of the body and remain fully conscious, fully aware of all that is happening. As you know, there is a very great deal in preparing, in deciding in advance what one is going to do. The ancients of old used incantations, in other words, they repeated a mantra, that is, a form of prayer, which had as its objective the subjugating of the subconscious. By repeating their mantra, the conscious, only 1/10 of us, was able to send an imperative order to the subconscious. You could have a mantra such as this: on such and such a day I am going to travel in the astral world, and I am going to remain fully aware of all that which I do and be fully aware of all that which I see. I shall remember all this and recall it fully when I am again in my body. I shall do this without fail. You should repeat this mantra in groups of three, that is, you should say it, then having said it you should repeat it, then having repeated it you should affirm it once more. The mechanics of it is something like this: one states a thing, that is not enough to alert the subconscious because one is always stating things, and we are sure that the subconscious thinks that the conscious part of us is very talkative. Having stated our mantra once, the subconscious is not at all alerted. The second time the same words are stated, and they must be stated, 64, quite identically, the subconscious begins to take notice. At the third affirmation the subconscious, as one might say, wonders what it is all about and is fully receptive to our mantra, and the mantra is received and stored. Supposing you say your three affirmations in the morning, then you will want to say them, when you are alone, of course, at midday and again in the afternoon and again before you retire and go to sleep. It is as knocking in a nail: you have your nail, you start the point in the wood, but one blow is not enough. You have to keep administering blows until the nail is in the wood to the depths desired. In much the same way, the affirmations administer blows which drive the desired statement into the awareness of the subconscious. This is not a new device by any means, it is as old as humanity itself, for the old people of days long gone knew a lot about mantras and affirmations. It is only we in the modern age who have forgotten, or perhaps have become cynical about the whole affair. For that reason we impress upon you the urge that you must state your affirmations to yourself and not let anyone else know about them, for if other skeptical people know about them they will laugh at you and perhaps throw doubt in your mind. It is people laughing and throwing doubt which has stopped adults from seeing nature spirits and being able to converse telepathically with animals. Remember that. You will have decided upon the evening of a suitable day, and on the day in question when it arrives, you must make every effort to remain tranquil, to remain at peace with yourself and with everyone else. This is of vital importance. There must be no conflict within you which would cause you to become excited. For example, suppose you have had a heated argument with someone that day, then you will be thinking of what you would have said if you had had more time to think. You will think of things said to you, and your whole attention will not be focused upon traveling in the astral. If you are disturbed or distressed during the proposed day, postpone your astral traveling consciousness until another more peaceful day. But assuming that everything is tranquil and that all day you have been thinking of astral traveling with pleasurable anticipation, just as you would pleasurably anticipate a journey to some loved one who lived so distant from you that it would be an event indeed to so travel, then go to your bedroom, undress, 65, slowly keeping quite calm and breathing steadily. When you are ready, get into your bed, make sure that your night attire is quite comfortable, that is, it should not be tight around the neck nor should it be tight around the waist, for if you have distractions such as a tight neckband or a tight waistband, this irritates the physical body and may cause a jerk at a crucial moment. See that your bedroom is of a temperature most convenient to you, that is, neither too hot nor too cold. If you have little clothing on the bed, so much the better, because you do not want to be oppressed by an excessive weight of material above you. Turn out your bedroom light, and you will, of course, have made sure that your curtains are drawn closed so that no vagrant rays of light can flicker into your eyes at the wrong moment. With all this satisfactorily accomplished, lie down comfortably. Settle yourself, let yourself go limp. Let yourself become completely and utterly relaxed. Do not fall asleep if you can help it, although if you have repeated your mantra successfully, sleep will not matter because you will still remember. We advise you to stay awake if you can, because it really is interesting, this first trip out of the body. Lying comfortably, preferably on your back, imagine that you are forcing another body out of yourself. Imagine that the ghostly form of the astral is being pushed out. You can feel it rising up, something like a cork rising up through water. You can feel it withdrawing from your own flesh body molecules. There is a very slight tingling. Then will come a moment when the tingling almost ceases.